Brother has asked us to read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 7 through 17. Do we know the voice of the Lord? Are we subject to it in our everyday walk with Him? Verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself, that he is Christ, let him himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I were terrified you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his body presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think that as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that you shall be enlarged by you, or according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things which made ready to our hand. But he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. And not he that commandeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commandeth. I think as verse 17 makes it very clear that as Christians, we should never glorify what we are doing, but we should praise the Lord that he can work through us in an unworthy people who he has died for, and who loves us. Let us glorify his holy name. Let's kneel for prayer.
I thank Brother Merle for his prayer on my behalf, and touched my life in more than one way this week. Thank you for praying as well. I would also thank you for giving to the school, which is a blessing to me to be a part of that. So thank you for your support and faithfulness to us. We're not perfect, but I believe it's a valuable part of our congregation. Also, Carol and I would express our thanks for the cards and the pictures and notes of encouragement that we received in recent month or so. I thank you for that, showing your kindness and love to us. Some years ago, the Butterball Turkey Company set up a telephone hotline so purchasers of turkeys could ask questions about cooking their turkey. One caller explained that her turkey had been in the bottom of her freezer for 23 years. I had to think that if you get a freezer to last that long these days, that's pretty good, let alone have a turkey in it. 23 years, did you say? Well, the turkey is probably safe to eat if it was kept below zero all the time, said the expert, but it won't have much flavor. I wouldn't recommend eating it. The woman replied, "That's what I thought. We'll give the turkey to our church." Now, that woman did not make giving something of value to her church a very high priority. And in fact, in reality, she did not really place a high value on the people who would eat that turkey or who would serve it. This morning, we want to consider something that is extremely valuable and very important, something that we need to be giving to this church or this body of believers, as well as to others. Something that can show that we place a high value on people. And it is the act of serving. That would be the title of the message this morning, the act of serving. In Mark 10, Jesus emphasized the importance of serving. I'm going to start reading at verse 42, Mark 10, 42. "But Jesus called them to him, saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." In Luke 22, verse 27, Jesus said this, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." And what Jesus was saying, that look, if you're sitting at the table, you have a higher position in life than if you're serving. But here I am, I have chosen to serve. Jesus set the example for us to follow. John 12, 26, "If any man serve me," again Jesus speaking, "let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." The act of serving, though it involves reaching out to others, we need to always see it as being done to the Lord. Any act of service, though it benefits someone else, we need to view it as being done unto the Lord. Because Matthew 25, Jesus made that pretty clear. He said in verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, come ye blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, or one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, I believe that if we serve as unto the Lord, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, that was a waste of time, or that was a waste of a good day. But I believe that if we serve as unto the Lord, then there is never any serving that is a waste, if it is done unto the Lord. In Mark 14, when Mary took a pound of ointment, and you know the story there well, and poured it down on Jesus' head, some of them thought, what a waste that she's doing this. This could have been sold. This could have been, money could have been used to take care of poor. And here she's pouring it over Jesus' head. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Any kind of serving that we do that is done unto Jesus is not a waste. It has value. Well, all believers are to minister. You've heard that said before. You know, just not the title of minister for those of us who are ministers. But all believers are to minister. And all believers are to serve. And this morning, I'd like to use those words interchangeably, because when we minister, we are serving. When we serve, we are ministering. So keep that in mind as we continue on here. All believers are to serve. In 2 Corinthians 10, where Brother Merle read, Paul is defending his authority as a true apostle of Christ. And there were those in Corinth who opposed Paul, and false teachers who claimed that Paul's authority was not valid. So he responded to that and was defending himself, you might say, that I am a true apostle, and here's why. And in chapter 10, as Paul responds to those critical of him, I believe that we can find guidelines that this extends beyond the apostleship, or extends beyond just those who have the position of, quote, a minister in the church, but it extends to all people, that there are guidelines there for those who serve and what it means and what those, how we should serve Christ. So I'd like to pull some from that, and we're not going to pull every guideline there is this morning to serving, but hopefully it'll give us something to chew on, or something to compare ourselves to. A good foundation. In verse 8 is the first guideline that we'd like to see there of 2 Corinthians 10. Paul was saying, he said, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. The first guideline in what Paul was saying there, that his authority was given him not for the destruction of people, but for the edification of them. And I believe that the first guideline that we want to see, and these are not in any particular order other than they come that way in the text here, but not in order of importance, but we need to serve in order to edify. Serve in order to edify. The authority that God gave to Paul was to be used for edification, the building up of others. And as we minister, or as we serve, we are to do so with the purpose of building up, not destroying. And whatever our ministry is, and whatever our serving is, or whatever authority that we may have placed upon us, it is never to be used in the form that it would tear down, but to build up. It is to edify. For strengthening of the body. We've been encouraged to do the bodybuilding. The purpose of that is to build up the body. To do things that encourage and that edify. There, you'll notice that the things that are being suggested or asked to do, they're not things that tear down the body. But they're to edify. We need to make certain that the purpose of all of our serving, and sometimes this purpose can be subtly affected to be something other than what it should be, but we need to be careful that the purpose of all of our serving is to build up in some way. To build up in some way. There's no known benefit to wrong words or wrong actions or wrong attitudes to destroy or wound others. But on the other hand, the benefit from words, and we had testimony of that this morning, and I've experienced it in my life. And even this week, the benefit of words and actions or attitudes that are used can heal and restore, and those benefits are eternal. They last. You know, words are so powerful. It doesn't take many to build up, but the opposite is also true. It doesn't take many to tear down. Acts of service. There was a lot of acts of service yesterday, and that was a wonderful thing. And they're numerous. And sometimes we think, well, this isn't very much of an act of service. It's such a small thing. But an act of service doesn't have to be big and expensive for the Lord to use it to build up. Be something very simple, very easy to do, very inexpensive, like writing a letter. sharing a few words to someone. You know, even offering some smiles. God's given us the ability to smile. Sometimes people need one. I need them. I would hate to live around a situation or circumstances or be part of something where there's no smiling. Mary Ann Bird writes in the book, The Whisper Test, or she said, I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, what happened to your lip? I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade that we all adored, Mrs. Leonard by name. She was short, round, happy. Seems like sometimes the round ones are happier. A sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? And I waited there for those words that God must have put into her mouth, those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. What an impact. That little girl needed someone to build her up. And as we serve, we need to be builders, not destroyers. Serve to edify. We find a second guideline in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, for we dare not make ourselves of this number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. From that, I believe we can say that we need to serve in humility and don't compare ourselves to others. I believe that our goal is some things obviously you have to do publicly or people see it, you can't do it without that. But I believe that our goal should be to become more and more hidden in our service instead of catching the eye of others. That the purpose of that we ought to become more and more hidden when we can in our service. And as we serve, there's no room for pride, or rather to thinking, well, look what I did last week. You know, I guess, well, I wonder what Brother So-and-so did, if he could match up to that. As far as I know I'm a little bit higher right now than him because I doubt whether he did his bodybuilding exercise. There's no room for pride in comparing ourselves to someone else, because when we're honest and we're in compare ourselves to God, Brother Merle made mention of this morning, we realize we have no basis for any pride. If anything good comes from me, it's just amazing that it does and that he can use somebody like me to make it happen. Our purpose or our goal should be, am I, not whether I'm outdoing this person, but am I fulfilling what God is asking of me? If we serve with a humble spirit, seeking to please the Lord, then we will be effective. We will be effective in our ministries, and a result will be a blessing to others. But the key is getting the first part right. Serving in humility with a humble spirit and doing it to please the Lord. Someone has said it is possible to be too big for God to use you, but never too small for God to use you. Use the serve for in order to edify, be humble. In our service, not comparing ourselves with each other, but comparing ourselves to God. And the third guideline is in verse 13, where Paul goes on to say, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the role which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. He says in verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And what Paul is saying there, look, I realize where God has placed me, and that's where I'm going to serve him. Now that's the paraphrase. That's what he's saying. God has put me here to serve you, to minister to you. Don't have to be concerned about over here where I'm not supposed to be at this point, because he's put me here. This is where I'm supposed to serve him. And so the guideline is this, that we be ourselves and serve within the realm that God has placed you or placed us. Use how God has made us. Did you recognize that God's made us differently? You might be thinking, boy, I'm so glad he made me different than you, Brother Schilt. Well, that's okay, because he's got a purpose for me. He's got a purpose for you in the way that he's made us, in the way that he's equipped us, in the way that he's gifted us as believers. Each one is unique. And so we need to be ourselves and serve and minister within the realm that God has placed us. Serve where God has put us at this time. Paul knew that his ministry was from God and that he needed to stay within the limits where God had put him. God equips us. He calls us. He equips us to minister, to serve where he places us. On the other hand, you know, we need to be open. And that's Paul, the attitude here. This was the attitude of Paul as well. He was open to the fact that, you know, if God should extend my ministry somewhere else, then we'll deal with that and we'll go there. But for right now, because God has chosen me for here, I'll serve him here within his limits. That means that sometimes it's okay not to do something. I have to be careful saying that one sometimes, don't we? But it's true, I believe. There are some things that I would say that I would have no business trying to help serve in because I'd make a mess of it. And so it's good for me to say no. We're different. There are some things that maybe I can do that you can't do by the grace of God. It's okay sometimes to say no because we know where God's limits are for us. We stay within them because someone else is better equipped to serve in a certain way. Paul not only knew that his ministry was God's, but God had also chosen him to minister or to serve, meaning that he wasn't supposed to be someone else. I use this as an example. We were called to the ministry to take the spot of, or the number, as you say, Brother Harold. As much as I respect and appreciate and love Brother Harold, I can't be him. And I could try and try. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some things about him that I can emulate and try to improve upon myself and make some changes that are for the good. But in reality, I still have to be myself. God wants to use us as he's created us to fulfill the ministry of serving that he's calling us to do. Don't try to be someone else. Don't think just because, well, this is the way it's always been said, or this is the patented way, let's do something. Sometimes that's okay, but you know what? Sometimes a little variety and someone just being themselves is a real blessing. When it's serving is unto the Lord. Fourth guideline is found in verses 17 and 18. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Ultimately, strive as we serve, whether it's the bodybuilding exercises or whatever it is, ways that we serve. Ultimately, strive for the Lord's approval, the Lord's commendation. And remember, as Brother Merle made it clear, that all is to be given to the Lord. The glory goes to God. If I happen to serve and do something that benefits someone, thanks be to God, for he's the one that deserves the credit. Because it's only an act of his mercy and grace that I can stand up and be alive each morning. It really only matters. Our serving really only matters if he is pleased or if he is not. That's what counts about our serving. Ultimately, is God pleased? Is Jesus pleased with my serving? Or isn't he? You know, we're tempted to want recognition, to want to talk good about ourselves, we want to be approved by others, but in the end, the only one's approval that really counts, the only commendation that really amounts to anything is God's. And Paul realized that. And he said, ultimately, all I want to do is be commended by God. When I come to the end of my life, it really doesn't matter what everybody else says about me. It doesn't even necessarily matter what they put on my epitaph, if there is one on my tombstone, but it does matter what God thinks of me. And whether I've gotten to the point where he's approving of what I've done and how I've served. Oh, I've failed many times. We're going to be commended by God. We need to stay in tune with him, not allowing anything to hinder our fellowship with him. You know, when our fellowship with him is hindered, there's something there. It's almost next to impossible to serve, at least the way we're supposed to. Our serving needs to be characterized by obeying him, communing with him, desiring to please only him, because it's his commendation that really matters. This little real illustration, I believe, brings that out. A man once walked into a store, took his place in line behind four other customers. Before long, he realized the line wasn't moving. A trio of clerks behind the counter were involved in a personal discussion. And it was only after they sensed the restlessness of those waiting that they turned to give them attention. And even then, they did not offer service cheerfully. They acted as if the customers were interfering with their social lives and continued their personal conversation. And after making his purchase, the man asked to see the manager, and suddenly the clerk's attitude changed. He became all smiles. He said, "I'm sorry if I kept you waiting." The man smiled back and said, "Don't worry. It won't happen again. I can assure you it won't." And if that sounded like a threat, it was, because little did the clerk know that he had neglected the owner of the store. as we serve, we can't afford to neglect the owner of our lives. The owner of our serving, or the owner of our ministry, or to miss out on his commendation, because it's not going to matter if he doesn't approve. Serve in order to edify. Serve in humility and don't compare ourselves to others. Be ourself and serve within the realm that God has placed us. You know, for some people, that might be writing 40 letters. I just threw out that number. Ultimately, strive for the Lord's approval. I've heard the words that someone put down and talking about a man who had served for 50 years, serving the Lord, and how his focus was just more and more on pleasing Christ and on the future and what was ahead. And one of the things that it states that he was living for heaven. It says that he laid down his life on the altar of grace, and living like Jesus would come any day. Went on to say, and this sentence really is what I want to get at. That's all important, and that's the way we should be living. But he said, I'm making a difference with all I've been given. I want you to think about that. I'm making a difference with all that I've been given. And I know that most of us are very busy. I can't answer for you. I know my life's very busy. I'm working a lot of hours outside of here. Right now, Tuesday night is, if I'm not working, and if it's nothing else, Tuesday night's basketball night. You probably think, well, that guy can't play basketball at his age. Well, let me explain that. You might think, well, that's a waste. I'm going to tell you why it's not a waste, because it's not so much about me playing, because first of all, my sons are very careful that I don't play too much. Not sure what they're thinking. Well, I think I know what they're thinking. But it's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to spend some valuable time with some older sons and some other young men. There's value to that. But we're all busy, and nights are for this or that. But the point I'm trying to get is, am I making a difference with what I've been given by God? By the way he's equipped me, by the way he's the gift he's given me as a believer, and by the way he's made me, am I making a difference? And that God would commend me for what I'm doing. Remember when what Jesus also said about Mary? Her pouring over the oil, what did he say? He said, she hath done what she could. A good work, but what she could. And there's so many times I haven't done what I could, and I failed. That's a question to ask ourselves. I want you to listen to this yet. Couple things, I'm almost finished. It's a unique way of writing. Somebody wrote these words down, but it sends a real message. I want you to listen, and it's a challenge. Think about it. He says, I was racing through the airport to make an early flight. I wanted to get home to see my children and my wife. I rushed around the corner. An apple stand was there. Until I knocked it over, the fruit went everywhere. At first, I kept on going. I just couldn't miss that plane. I looked over my shoulder, not stopping to explain. A girl was down there on her knees, groping round to find the apples scattered on the floor. Then I saw the girl was blind. As my plane was leaving, I stopped to lend a hand. I picked up all the apples and restored the apple stand to replace the bruised and broken. In her fingers pressed some bills. As I hugged her narrow shoulders, she reached to hold me still and said, "Excuse me, are you Jesus? Is that why you were so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus, to have had me on your mind? You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. You put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart." When we serve as unto the Lord, we are being Jesus to somebody's heart. Is that the kind of statement somebody would make to me? If they couldn't see me, say, "Excuse me, is it possible you could be Jesus because of your kindness and your serving and what you just did?" I'd like to add one more here in closing. One more guideline. And simply this, that we need to serve not because someone tells us that these two things we ought to do this month, or that we're forced, but we need to serve out of a love for the Lord. Strictly serving out of love for the Lord. That little chorus that the old Glory Gaither wrote hit it on the head. He said, "I will serve thee." Why? "Because I love thee." That's why. "I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. And if you've given life to me, that means you deserve for me to serve you. And I should love you. Your touch is what I'm getting carried away, ahead of myself. I was nothing before you found me. I'm still nothing without you. You have given life to me." He goes on to write there, "Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I longed for. You have given life to me. I will serve you because you gave that touch. And I love you because of it." That's all the reason we need. When we do that, God will be glorified, and I believe he will give the commendation and his approval.
I think if you've ever studied the account of Abraham's servant Eliezer, I think you find Dwayne's last point about serving out of love. You know, Eliezer at one point would have been considered Abraham's heir because he had no sons. Yet when Abraham asked him to go and find a wife for his son, he prayed for God's blessing, and he had an immediate answer of prayer, and he didn't waste any time in fulfilling his obligation. I think it just amazes me the love he must have had for Abraham. I mean, think about it. He could have been jealous, because he was in a position maybe to inherit a lot, but yet that meant nothing to him. Some of you have heard this story before, some of you have not. President Franklin Roosevelt had a man who served him, helped him around, and of course he had a handicap, the president. And people would come in and out of the president's office, and many times they stumbled over this man. And one time a man got so frustrated, he said to President Roosevelt, "Why do you keep that clumsy oaf around here?" And his answer was, people come in and out of here every day. They want something from me. He said, this is the only man who wants nothing from me. He only wants to serve me. Two times every year, this congregation makes a commitment to serve when we wash one another's feet. And Jesus said, if we've done it unto these, you've done it unto me. Let's stand for a word of prayer.